A lot of questions today. This is the questions. Rob Bell, the author of Velvet Elvis. Rob Bell, the author of Love Wins. It's all about, well, does hell exist? Would God really send people to hell? Mahatma Gandhi really go to hell? Does God really send people to hell? Do you really have to be born again? Do you really have to be saved? What about those who made an act of salvation or accepted Christ a long time ago, but it doesn't seem to mean anything to them now? Rob Bell in the book, I'm listening to the audio, and he's asking a lot of questions, and nothing wrong with questions, but the tone of the questions is, obviously God wouldn't do that. Obviously there's got to be a change. Obviously God wouldn't have a hell and let people live there for thousands and thousands or forever just because in their finite short amount of time that they lived here, they sinned. So God wouldn't do that, would he? Would he? Listen, that's the questions. Coming out of the, whether you want to say the church being reformed, the transformational church, the emerging church, let me just take on a little bit concerning Rob Bell. And the reason why is because he wrote the book. He put it out there. He laid it out there. And now thousands and thousands are going to grab a hold of the doubts that he is filled with, the questions that he is filled with, which involves his search for different answers. I mean, there's a lot of revelation in the tone. There's a lot of revelation in the questions that are being unleashed, as if there is a goal to create doubt in the reader of the book. Love wins. Love wins, nobody goes to hell. Love wins, everybody gets saved. Love wins, God loves everybody. So let's ask Rob Bell a lot of questions ourselves. Has God changed his mind? Was hell a bad idea? Does the devil and the angels go to hell, but nobody as far as humanity? What is the price for sin? Rob Bell, why did Jesus die on the cross? Did he come to destroy the devil's work? Did he come to save us from our sins? Rob Bell, what about the death of Christ, the cross of Christ? What is salvation? Now, if salvation involves the gift of eternal life and all that is expressed in that, indestructible immortality, then let's ask the question, Rob Bell, does any of that mean anything? I've been someone that was on the other side of the fence. I knew I was hellbound. I knew I was responsible. I knew that I had sinned. I knew that I was cut off from God. I knew that I was away. But I've been on this side of the fence 36 years. I know God's presence, God's love, God's grace in my life. I know that God, as in the Greek of 1 Peter chapter 3, boulomai, in his determined counsel, he's not willing that anybody perish. I know that I read Timothy chapter 2, that this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills, pos anthropos, all humanity, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. I also read in 2 Thessalonians 2, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Let's ask Rob Bell, does everybody want to go to heaven? Does Charles Manson want to go to heaven? Does Hitler want to go to heaven? Does Stalin want to go to heaven? What about those who don't want to go? What about the Luciferians? Maybe the Antichrist will be there in heaven. No hell below us. We can all start singing John Lennon's song, you know, Imagine. So Rob Bell wants all these questions to come out, and I just feel like I should be listening to John Lennon's Imagine. You know, there's no hell below us. No hell, no price to pay. The blood of Christ means nothing. The cross, the death, the sinless death, it means nothing. Does Rob Bell know the extent of radical evil? Does Rob Bell know about the fall of the human race? Does Rob Bell know that sin, the sin code, has corrupted humanity, but it's all about the will, and that God does not override the will? It's all about, let's ask the question. Let's ask the question of listeners here. Do you want to go to heaven? I mean, literally, see the face of God, live in an indestructible, immortal body that Christ purchased and provided for at the cross. The second coming of Christ, does it have any meaning? The return of Christ, Revelation 19. The Antichrist is on the field. The largest, broadest, super military system in human history, demonized, absolutely guided there by dark supernatural powers. Is Jesus, when he returns, Rob Bell, will he stop mid-air and say, oh, let's forget about all of this and let's all become friends. Let's let everybody live together. Are you kidding me? Look at the world that we're living in right now. Can we all get along? Are we living together? Do you, listen, Rob Bell, writer of the book Velvet Elvis, writer of Love Wins, the one that's pumping out doubt, maybe projecting your own doubt, projecting your own pain. Rob Bell, do you understand? I, as a believer in Christ, desire every single human being I see, meet, find, that they would know the love of God, that they would be saved, be born of the Spirit of God. Maybe that means nothing to you. Maybe you don't see the awesome power and glory and might and love of God and embrace of God in that. I experienced that 37 years ago when at one moment, God is on the outside, Christ is on the outside. The Spirit of God is convicting me of my sin, of my lostness, of judgment. Is there no judgment? Is there no price to pay? Is sin so little of a thing that all you understand is little bits of sin, stealing a cookie, and then we go to hell? Or do you understand the sin nature? Do you understand that the nature, the core nature of humanity has been altered completely and possibly eternally, barring an intervention from God, barring a fix from God, barring an entrance by God? What's the incarnation all about, Rob Bell? Why was he born of a virgin and not just any other way? Why is that so miraculous, astounding, and incredible that God, in the physics of the incarnation, the conception that led to God in human flesh, do you not understand the wonder of that? Do you not understand the astounding glory that the infinite God has come in Christ? It seems like Rob Bell likes Jesus. I mean, Mahatma Gandhi liked Jesus. It seems like Edgar Cayce, Nostradamus, many others like Jesus, but many of them reject his deity, reject the cross, reject salvation, reject the message, thus reject God, God's answer, God's revelation in human flesh. Rob Bell influencing hundreds of thousands by your materials and videos and books. All the questions, all of the stuff being pumped out of your life. Can I ask you something, Rob Bell? Does it save anybody? Does anybody receive the gift of irreversible, indestructible immortality? What about seeing God face to face? Is Hitler going to be there sitting on God's lap? What about so many others around the world? Does that mean they all get to go? And then if that's true, how do they get cleaned up down the road? Is there another act of salvation, another act of redemption, some other osmosis? Are there other doorways, Rob Bell? Or have you missed? I have not seen the confession of Rob Bell in his own knowing, experiential knowing of the living Christ. I'm going to recommend to you, the listener today, and those listening to the archives later on, the study of the book of 1 John and the contrast, light and darkness, the contrast, the spirit of error and the spirit of truth, the contrast. Why the Spirit of God would use over 35 times the Greek word gnosko. This is how you know, K-N-O-W. This is how you know that you've come to know him. This is how you experientially know that you have come to experientially know the living Christ. Well, by loving the Word of God, by beginning to grow, by moving in that direction, by having the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Gnostics, the Docetics, the Cerinthians, they didn't have that. They came up with an alternative incremental approach through the demigods and through a progression of evolutionary spirituality that would somehow, by osmosis, lead you to godhood. Any Gnostics out there in the last 2,000 years become God? Have you met any Gnostics, New Agers, gurus, Hindus, anyone that has become the infinite God? Has the fallen cherub been able to take God's place? Rob Bell, do you know the insatiable lust of the fallen cherub? Do you know the depth of his passion and hatred of God, of humanity, of the church, of the cross, of Rob Bell, have you ever seen demonic presence manifest? Rob Bell, what about those who slaughtered Christ at the cross? What about those that don't want to go? Does God just kind of lasso them up and tie them up and bind them and put duct tape over their mouths and bring them to heaven? When in their hearts and in their nature and in their will and their commitment, they don't want to go? Well, wait a minute. Rob Bell might say something like, well, maybe later on they'll decide. Maybe later on they'll love being in heaven. Maybe, why not now? Has Satan changed his mind in thousands of years? Did Pharaoh change his mind? Did Hitler change his mind in his utter rejection and despising of the living Christ? So if Rob Bell's going to ask a lot of questions like that and thrust out a lot of doubt like that and begin to, let me ask Rob Bell, are you going to educate God? Are you going to be able to come up with a better solution than God? Are you kidding me? Rob Bell, where do you stand in the proclamation of this awesome, glorious, astounding Christ, God in human flesh? Rob Bell, did you hear the words at the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did you understand? God's not willing that any perish. God wills that all men come and be saved. Jesus died for the sum total of humanity. But as the Word of God, propositional truth, absolutely objective, living words of God, it already states it, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. What if some of your friends, Rob Bell, don't want to come to Christ? What if they don't want God? What if they don't want anything to do with God? What about the Luciferian and the Satanist? What about the growing numbers that would rather have an alternative? Can I ask you, Rob, did you answer your questions in the rest of the book? Do you have everything written down? Is Rob Bell wiser, broader, more understanding, more loving than God himself? One wonders where someone's own, and I see a lot of lack of theological understanding, theological depth. I see a lot of lack in the biblical revelation that is sloughed off. Oh, the virgin birth isn't that important. The propositional word of God is not that important. Everybody interprets it differently. Everybody, you know. And so it's almost like this, you're so confused, you want to ask the questions and unleash all that confusion on everybody else. Rob Bell, I'm not confused. God loves everybody. God wants everybody saved. God doesn't desire anybody. Have you read in Ezekiel what God said through the prophet thousands of years ago? God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn. But what if the wicked don't want to turn? What if there's those that spit on the blood of the covenant? What if those that hate God trample the blood of Christ and despise it and reject and renounce? What about that, Rob? What do we do with them? Do we put them in a closet? Do we put them in a school of learning? What is your answer, Rob Bell, on all these questions? I have a lot of questions for Rob Bell. The Velvet Elvis. You know, when you talk about the Velvet Elvis, I talk about Baskins and Robbins. When it comes to the body of Christ, Ecclesia. Well, let me stop here. I'm going so far into this. This is Rust Is Dark, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. This is the Shatter Live broadcast on a Tuesday night, May the 3rd, 2011. Not too far away from 2012, by the way. There is a massive spiritual contrast in the world. There is a ramping up on both sides. Billions can feel it in the air. Maybe Rob Bell cannot. maybe Michael Dodd of the evolutionary, the evolving universe, God is the creation. Maybe he doesn't understand and know the difference either. Do we understand the concept of exchanging the glory of God for finite things? Exchanging the truth of God for lies. And if it's just a great big bowl of confusion, a great big bowl of questions, can I ask Rob Bell, who's got the answers? Is there something bigger and broader and wider and higher and deeper than the Word of God? Let me tell you, I see a vast lack of the depth of the understanding. I don't know, maybe in your heart you want everybody to go to heaven. Oh, please understand. God in human flesh outside of Jerusalem cried out, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how often I willed, Thelema, willed to bring you up under my arms, but you willed, you would not." Has Rob Bell forgotten the concept of the human will? Being free enough to be able to say to God, "No, I will not." There is a statement I read years ago on the back of a book. Here's what it said. There are two kinds of people in the world. Those that say to God, they bow and they surrender and they say to God, "Thy will be done." On the other side of the fence, there are those to whom God says, "Okay then, have it your own way." Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net of the web. Welcome to Shatter's live broadcast on this Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Got a lot to tell you in the mix of all of this. Tonight in this series, here's what we say. The corrupted, compromised, counterfeit, corrupting, emerging, transform, well, whatever you want to call it. Church. If that's what it's really called. Not everything that says church is really a church. You do understand that. Now, subtitled under this, in contrast to the indestructible, supernatural church that Jesus Christ is building, has commissioned, is empowering, and is coming for. If Jesus Christ is coming, is he coming for the church? In the end of all things, is all of Scripture going to change? Does Rob Bell have new insight? Did God change everything and only Rob Bell knows? Maybe Rob Bell has got the degrees or the wisdom. Finite complaint, confusion, bitterness. Can I ask a question, personal level, Rob Bell? Is there bitterness behind all of this? Does Rob Bell know the living, indwelling, awesome Christ? We're going to ask these questions as we get into A and B tonight. There are PDF file notes on the website, shatterthedarkness.net. Welcome to all the satellite listeners. Welcome to all the internet listeners. Welcome across the board to all those that download up to 90 countries, and we're going to say Dobre Utra to all our friends. 10,000 downloads in the last 30 days out of Russia. We're glad you're listening and downloading, and welcome Ni Hao to the Chinese, and I pray that it's in the government and the Red Guard and others that are listening. I want you to. Let me tell you what I'm passionate about. The absolute, bursting, passionate love of God. God's not willing that any man, woman, or child be lost. God wants everybody. And, we're commissioned. And I'm glad. And it is not just a duty. It is a compelling, driving love. God loves you, the listener, more than anyone else could. God knows you more than anybody else knows you. And God wants you more than anybody else could want you. That's biblical theology right there. I can give you the chapter and verses. That is the expression of Scripture. Well, I want to tell you, I know Osama Osama bin Laden, rather, is in the mix of all the, is he dead? Is it the CIA? Is, when did he die? Why was he thrown into sea? Why is there no body? All those stories. Is Pakistan really our friends? Why give them billions of dollars? All of that's there. Everybody's trying to sort it out. I understand that. Don't forget Fallen World. There is a dark side operative advancing specifically in the Middle East. There is a shadow regime behind the scenes. Maybe Rob Bell doesn't know Revelation 13 or Daniel chapter 7 and 9. Maybe there's those that don't understand these things and don't understand the depth, the breadth, how big this radical evil and this agenda is, and so they don't understand. Just wish everybody can be loved, and I do too. But there's a reason for the cross and a reason that God has made a way that involves the fix, that fixes the sin nature, the sin code, the death code, that issue of hell and the separation. And it's glorious. There is no greater spiritual experience that comes directly from God. And this leads to, well, as I always say, indestructible immortality, the face of God, my friend. I know, you know where I was today? I'm going to give you a personal word today. I was at a funeral this afternoon, earlier today, a few hours ago. Let me apologize to those emailers and those who have Facebooked me. By the way, Alex Jones asked to friend me, believe it or not, on Facebook. And so I connected there, and let's see what occurs. So I apologize for being behind. We are still 9 weeks out on the complete wiping out of our research center here and in the shambles of what we're going to do. So we're just looking for leading and operative. We're operating on the fly, literally. So we're going to continue to do that. That's what the Book of Acts is all about. Apologize to those who are not getting new sessions in the training on the Book of Acts. We're going to plan again two more of those this week. And but that's what the Book of Acts involves, learning adapt to the situations that are going on while you continue doing the will of God. Let me tell you that I'm trying to get so many emails, trying to call people back. Called a friend back last night in Montana and got to one of those conversations. And we have a number of folks that are asking for me to call them back. And we're just simply behind in emails and everything else. And a number of folks that have sent long questions Facebook questions. It's just one thing, the physics of time and trying to get back. So I'm a relational person and love being able to talk, as I did last night with a friend from, again, Montana. And the young man that called in with the demonized voice. You heard about that maybe last Friday. And I'm going to talk more about that coming up this Friday because they've called again, emailed again, and we'll talk more about that and see what the encounters are going to be like. But let me tell you quickly, I'm going to be on Omega Man Radio. I'll post it on the Shatter site tomorrow. This is going to be Thursday night at 11 p.m., I believe it is. We'll post it up for those that know Omega Man, the radio project out of Blog Talk 2. So, we have requests from, I think, three others that we haven't given you the dates yet, and we're just kind of in a quandary of when to give you the dates. We have a request to go to Dayton to a church to speak to an hour's drive from St. Louis, Missouri, in a city and a church. Pastor Gary and his wife Linda, we're going to give them the final dates. We are going to go to the Future Congress, and yes, we've been invited. We put our materials in, so all I know is that we've been invited. We put up our materials, and that we're supposed to speak in two sessions. And we're willing to go other places, but let me tell you, today I'm at a funeral. I was asked to say a few words. I broke down because it was a lady, Winnie Shipe, in her 80s. She died. You don't know her. Most of you don't know her. Maybe my friends in the area here are listening. And I want you to hear this, because back when I came to Christ, when this Savior came into my heart and changed my life, let me tell you what occurred. My family had all broken apart, and I had nowhere to go, and I had transferred back to this area to go to school, to a Christian school. And going to this local church, there was my friend that got saved, Rob. He got saved, I got saved, he went off to school, and now his mother and the father, Dalton, she asked me to come in, and I could live there. I lived down in their basement on a little cot. And that's where they took me in when I had nowhere to go. And this is an individual that fed and had dinner and cared about. This is a lady that is very important to me in my life. And her family is, and Dalton, her husband, in his 80s now too, he was there, and to see his tears. And they allowed me to stand up in a, listen now, listen, talking about churches, in an older, traditional, big church, stained glass windows, all the accoutrements, organ music. There were favorite songs of this dear lady that were played, including Amazing Grace, all kinds of older hymns that were great that I was able to sing much of it by memory now. And the style was different. And it was going to be interesting to me, because as they gave me my opportunity to talk about this dear lady and I shared my love and my belief that she knew Christ and that she's absent from the body, present with the Lord, and that I will see her again, and that everyone that knows the living Christ would see her again. As we did all of that at a funeral today, as I contemplated the incredible love that this family, that this man and woman, and allowing me to live in their home, no charge. They fed me. They cared. I've known them for many, many years. But she's gone. In the context of that church, the pastor was going to speak, and because of it being a mainline church, I wondered what was going to be spoken. Of course, I wanted to give a witness of Christ and share Christ. Good news, last night after the show, I go to work out at a local Y, and I'm in the hot room, like I like to go there and pray. Once again, a man comes in. And what a tremendous thing to share Christ and engage somebody, and how God opens doors. It's incredible. This pastor gets up, and he unleashes the Word of God. He unleashes the gospel. He tells the folks there about Winnie knowing the Lord, that she's in heaven, and how they can come to know Christ. He preaches on the chapter that deals with the death and raising up of Lazarus and what Jesus said, who he is. And what an incredible message. That's why it's important for all believers, walk away from slandering the church, walk away from shelling out malice, and walk away from stereotypes. Be a person of integrity. If you don't like a style of music or a style of a building or whatever else, that has nothing to do. All of us know that icons and pictures and stained glass windows and none of that saves us or even brings you closer to God. Doesn't matter if you're meeting in a barn, if you have a house church. We've been out in the fields before. Churches have met in the catacombs. I read of a church in Saudi Arabia years ago, because they're not allowed to have really a building, that was meeting in the trash dump. They made their church building out of pieces of all kinds of pieces of stuff in the trash dump. And they would sit on boxes and pots as they would worship and as they would hear the Word of God preached. In Russia, in China, in house churches, in fields, in back places, and so forth, where believers have to meet. So please understand the body of Christ. Today, I heard a man get up in a pulpit, preach to a crowd with clarity, being born again, knowing the living Christ, knowing and experiencing the power of that resurrection of Christ, and needing Jesus. Afterwards, I went up to him. I said, man, that was a lot like John Wesley there. I mean, I liked John Wesley back in the day, and this was great. This was great. In the context of what we're dealing with, because it's the church, being in one today, as I was in that, I was processing what we talked about yesterday, processing this week, wondering if I can get back in time to really go over everything for tonight. Well, see, tonight, May the 3rd, this is Tuesday, here's what the subtitle is on the website: Satanic Strategy, What Are the Five Signs of Emergent Church Compromise, Corruption, and Counterfeit? Or of the transformational, or liberal, and even the Catholic system. Why do they seek to replace the body of Christ with a masqueraded spirituality that is without the Spirit of God and without the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there anyone greater than the Lord Jesus? Would Mahatma Gandhi, would he say that Jesus Christ was nothing? In his political quest, he sought to use the principles of Jesus. Was Mahatma Gandhi God? No. Was he Savior? No. Did he die on a cross? No. Did he try to do some good things? Yeah. But don't tell me to exalt somebody that would deny the deity of Christ and not be able to see the glory of God in human flesh because a heart is committed to alternative, finite, masqueraded as light, dark, demonic doctrines and teachings. The gods and goddesses of India and human sacrifice and misery and what they lead a nation into. Don't you ask me to tolerate dark, demonic, human suppressing, enslaving spirituality. So I want to ask Rob Bell again. Can we ask the questions out of all the questions that is in the heart of Rob Bell? And there's nothing wrong with anybody having questions. Got a lot of people that have written questions. I'm trying to get back to you. I might just have to ask, you know, take time to sometimes just answer them on the website. I might just have to do that. The website, shadowthedarkness.net, this week, the theme, we're including the concept of liberal and the so-called transformational and reforming the church and, all the different things. It depends on reforming it from what? The Word of God lays out in over 90 places the word ecclesia, church, and even more than the body of Christ. And God creates it, empowers it, designs it, lives among it, dwells within it. Let me tell you something. When the body of Christ is on with God, it is an incredible place to be. I hope you take the time to go to the website. Take a look at Monday and Tuesday. Now, Wednesday, it's going to be the 10 signs of the body of Christ. I'm going to give you 10. People ask me, what church do I go to? People write to me all the time, and that's absolutely fine. But I don't know your area, so I don't know where to really tell you. Because I don't stereotype Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Vineyard, whatever, all the different. I can only give you a biblical grid, what the Spirit of God shows, and let you use that in the context of being connected to a local body, which is, it could be a great big building, it could be a house church. But there still has to be these 10 signs. And that involves our constant alertness, discernment, purity, faithfulness, and I'm going to answer on Wednesday night how not to quench the Spirit of God. Wednesday night late, we also have an update on the serial murders connection to Chosen Ones. Thursday, May the 5th, we have God's Zero Toleration of Counterfeit Spirituality, Counterfeit Signs, Wonders, Miracles, Workers, and so forth. Zero Toleration, we're going to take a look at the seven churches of Revelation, including Sardis, Thyatira, and Laodicea. There I've linked in the book of Jude, kind of a 50-minute overview I've done on the book of Jude. It's there. You can get the link. Friday night, we're going to deal with, the title of it, a blazing, powerful church and the possibility of a great, massive witness to the world. What it could be. Now, that's what you and I, instead of judging everyone, and we need to realize it all begins where you are right now. So take a piece of chalk, draw a circle around you and your 2 feet, me and my 2 feet, and under the lordship of this sovereign King and Savior, no one more compassionate, no one with greater love, no one with greater sacrifice, no one with a broader global reach in what was done at the cross. No one knows how to do it better. So if we're going to get the answers, what I might do is take Rob Bell's questions in the first chapter, and I might just go after seeking the Lord, looking to his presence, and bringing out distinct answers. Maybe that will help Rob Bell rewrite, or a different book. He talks about the church in the terms of the Velvet Elvis, and it's not always, it involves confusion and questions and all that. See, when I say the body of Christ, when I say church, as long as it really is the church, I look at it as Baskins and Robbins. A lot of different flavors. You can go to an African-American church. You can go to a church in Zimbabwe. You can go to a church in Korea. You can go to a church in Germany. You can go to a church in Saudi Arabia, off the beaten path somewhere. You can go to a house church, a barn church, an old country church. You can go all over the world, and you're going to find a lot of different styles, flavors. Nothing wrong with that. You can sit in big pews and have great big ceilings and colored glass windows, and you can use methods. Remember what I said yesterday? Methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change and can change. They're not the absolutes, but the principles are. God, Christ, the Word of God, salvation, that's all clear, infallible. It is the answer. And Rob Bell doesn't like that issue. And other emergent church leaders seem to be persuaded with New Age spiritual thinking that there is no absolute, that there is no final spiritual revelation, that it's all toleration and a hodgepodge of everything. So with Rob Bell's almost to the level of bitter questioning whether or not Mahatma Gandhi would really go into hell? Really? That's his way of questioning. And the answer to that would be, what about Hitler then? Really? Is he really going to be in hell? Stalin, really? Is he really going to be? What about Charles Manson? What about Dahmer? What about John Wayne Gacy? What about the Getz Ripper crew out of Chicago that ripped apart women, slaughtering them? What about them? We all get to go to heaven. Don't you think that it's going to be a whole lot like what it is right here? It's about heart change. Rob Bell, how do people get changed from the inside out? That involves future glorification. Rob Bell, what do you do with death? It's the same power of God that deals with sin, deals with death, deals with resurrection, deals with it all. It all flows from the same work at the cross. Satan hates the cross. Satan hates salvation. There's an operative presence, and I don't see anywhere in Rob Bell or in a lot of the emergent church stuff their understanding of a deep war, a deep, broad war, a passionate war began in the heavenlies. When a fallen cherub in deep insurrection willed with violence to take over God's position, to thrust God out, to get rid of God. Could you imagine that? And then here on the planet, here's where we engage this and we were stupid. Rob Bell, do you realize you sinned? You had a sin nature? I hope you understand salvation and being born of the Spirit of God and what that glorious fix includes, because there is nothing higher and broader and wider. Nothing else is going to work. Baskins and Robbins, my wife likes one flavor. utterly different. I don't even like to taste hers. I don't like the taste of it. But it's ice cream. Mine's ice cream. She likes to taste mine a lot. I got some new ice cream the other day, and I asked him to put it in a waffle cone. Two different flavors. Both of it is ice cream. One was a red velvet cake flavor, and the other was a coconut avalanche put together. Now, I liked both of them, and I had all of it. I ate all of it. Always do. But it was all ice cream. The body of Christ, I can go over here, and they might have a certain style, a certain type of music, a certain length of service and everything else, as long as it is the body of Christ. Listen, to the believers out there, instead of just slandering everything, you're not going to find me to be a slanderer, because the Spirit of God, it's not listed in the fruit of the Spirit. It's listed in the acts of the flesh. It's listed in Revelation 12 that Satan is the slanderer, attacking Christians everywhere. You got to understand, just like you, the body of Christ has enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You've got to understand Satan's absolute war on the body of Christ. Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. That's the good news. The indestructible, victorious, ultimately, victorious church. That doesn't mean, like in your life when you've stumbled, like in your life at times, I know I'm talking to some that have backslidden and coming back. I've been a pastor 30 years. I have ministered to hundreds and hundreds and, well, thousands now, that that have backslidden and returned, that have slipped up, messed up along the way, that their witness wasn't that great, that their knowledge of the Word of God wasn't that great. There are, listen, there are among us weak Christians. Stumbling believers, wounded believers, bitter believers. There are good believers. There are Spirit-filled believers. You look in the book of Acts at Barnabas and Paul and Stephen and Philip, and you look at some great examples of what it is like to be, you know, under Christ's lordship and in the depths of Christ and filled with the fullness of the power and grace and mercy of God and doing the mission and seeing what God does among us in the midst of that. But let me tell you something right now. Just as there are weak, and yes, because of their own sad choices, shameful choices, become hypocritical. That's why judgment begins at the house of God. You ever read that in Peter? That's why there's the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, to take care of the issues. For every single believer in Christ that hasn't used your giftings, done your witness, lived for Christ, put the Word of God into... See, there are some that are going to take the Word of God, put a little bit of effort into it and gain a little. But you could put more into it and gain 60%, or like the parable says, 100 times as much. Wouldn't you rather produce 100 times as much? Wouldn't you rather take in all that you can get from God so that it can all come out and through your life? I stood at a funeral, and the truth was today, I didn't have to make up anything. I didn't have to hide anything. I spoke genuinely, and the only thing I could say was good about Winnie Shipe. A woman and her husband, Dalton, they would not, you know, some would say, well, they're not off the charts, you know, evangelists to the world. But they walked with God. She knew the Lord. And the works that Jesus included was giving somebody a home, feeding somebody, things like that. She loved, cared, thought about things, exhibited the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, meekness. Wow. So I had nothing but good to say. Now, it's at the judgment seat of Christ, we all. It is the Savior that's going to speak to all of us. Nobody likes a hypocrite, that's for sure. But for those that use the excuse that you're not going to come to Christ or you're not going to go to a church because there's a hypocrite over here, is that really your excuse? Is that what's going to work? I'm not going to go to the church. The church isn't the Savior. Christ is. Catholics, you need to get over that. You need to understand that. You need to ask the question whether or not you are, as Jesus said, John's Gospel, chapter 3, are you born again of the Spirit of God? Priest, cardinal, pope, do you know the living Christ? Religion, religious accoutrements, windows, statues, none of those things. Matter of fact, they can be. They can create a mysterious religious feeling that distracts you from knowing the real and the living Christ. That's why there's a lot of Catholics that have left Catholicism and gone to the New Age. They had no real deep spiritual experience other than looking at the icon, you know, looking at the pictures, looking at the statues, looking at all the outside religious things, but having nothing on the inside. They then went to the New Age movement where they're experiencing some powers, but they've never been born again in the first place. And see, that's part of the problem when the body of Christ, parts of it have gone off the tracks and been corrupted politically, corrupted in religious syncretism. So in the mix of it all right now, Jesus still is the head of the church and there is a war. Here are five of the signs, and I'm seeing some of this in the emergent church developments. Five things concerning satanic strategy against the body of Christ. Let me go number one, aggressive confrontation. Just like in the beginning in the garden, it was aggressive confrontation. The whole goal was to bring down the human race. Chuck God, spit at him, turn around, accept the alternative. So there is, in Matthew chapter 4, Satan's aggressive confrontation of the living Christ. No question about that. No question concerning his twisting of Scripture and his aggressive confrontation. We read about the Antichrist in Daniel when he comes, going to make war on the saints. We read in Ephesians that our struggle is not against, Rob Bell, read this in Ephesians someday, that the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. They're real. They are, again, the word against five times. They're against the body of Christ. They're against the Christian. They're there to fight the church and bring confrontation and attack. That's why if you read the sequel to Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's called By Their Blood, three times as big as the book Fox's Book of Martyrs. More believers in Christ have been martyred in the 20th and 21st century than in the history of the church. That's right. And there's more to come when it comes to persecution, when it comes to attacking. You read the seven churches of Revelation in the books of book of Revelation, the first few chapters, and one of those churches, Jesus, you know, gives them a heads up. You know, where Satan has his throne. He's coming after you in about 10 days. Are you guys going to be put in prison 10 days? And, Satan's coming to attack and confront through persecution. That happened in Russia, that happened in China, that happened in Europe, that happened in other parts of the world, in Africa and places where missionaries have gone. There is real spiritual entities presence that is in absolute eternal hatred of God and of anything that is of God. So I want to ask Rob Bell, author of Velvet Elvis, author of Love Wins, what about the Antichrist? What about, you know, 2 Thessalonians 2, that in the secret power of lawlessness? What about the working of Satan and the counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles? What about the rise of Anthropos and Namos? What about Revelation 13, the beast, the political, economic, military system that will rise? New world order? You better believe it. Confronting? You better believe it. Attacking? You better believe it. So you got to understand that the body of Christ is on the face of the earth the number one target of the satanic agenda. So there's no reason to sit back and be astounded at the fact that Satan can attack leaders and pastors and churches and so forth. There is a war, and there is a declared hell against the body of Christ and the work of God. War. That's declared by hell. If you understand that, you're going to be very, very confused. Number two today in the strategy is Satan's schemes, the methodology, the method, like in the garden, that is amplified later on in, now you read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul is very concerned for the believers there. You know, the Corinthian church, the one that was weak and had corruption and had compromise and everything else. Jesus still called it a church. I mean, the saints. I mean, the Spirit of God did in chapter 1. Matter of fact, the seven churches of Revelation, you do know when it deals with Laodicea, Jesus offers them a way out of that self-sufficient blindedness they were in. And how do they come back? What about the church of Sardis? Once alive but became dead. Did Jesus chuck them out? No, he offered them a way back, even when it comes to backslid. You know, God loves the backslider. And even when local congregations or so-called denominations. What about the question of the Episcopal Church and the Bishop Robinson and the active gay agenda that has taken over? Is that the body of Christ? No. They had no redemption there. It's turned into, again, this is point three, but let's focus on point two. The methodology, doubt, deceit, seduction. Check it out, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, because there, thousands of years later, the Spirit of God leads Paul to unveil that the fallen cherub and the way he approached Eve in the garden is operative in the exact same way against the body of Christ, to lead believers in Christ away from their pure and sincere devotion to Christ. You check out 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I hope you will, to understand the war that is on against the body in aggressive confrontation, number one. You look at Acts chapter 5, and tell me whether that was not aggressive confrontation. You take a look, point number two, at methodology, doubt, creating doubt. And why I want to warn Rob Bell that all you may be doing is instilling more doubt about God's certainties. What kind of minister are you then? Satan's all about deceit, seduction. We all know this, against the body of Christ, sending those arrows. But then let's look at point three. Two words there. Third strategy involves compromise that leads to corruption, or vice versa, corruption that leads to compromise. Corruption deals with moral corruption, like in the Church of Corinth. There's moral corruption. There's compromise. Like in Laodicea, like in Sardis, like in Thyatira, there's corruption many times in a moral area, and there's grieving of the Spirit of God. You do know it's possible to grieve the Spirit of God. What about compromise? Compromise is what was going on in Thyatira, where Jesus doesn't tolerate and said, you tolerate the occult teacher that is right there in the body, misleading the people of God. You know, spiritual leaders are supposed to be spiritual leaders, discerning and keeping things pure and keeping the revelation of God wide open and keeping things safe and secure as shepherds of the flock of God. You got to be sure that we who do teach are held more responsible. Point number four in the strategy of the enemy's attack and war against the body of Christ, counterfeit spirituality. Bring in the counterfeit. New Age, the largest spiritual movement in the history of Christendom is the New Age movement. It is very much like the Gnostic, Docetic, Cerinthian, early church confrontation. And it is broader and wider than anything ever that the church has And what it does, it brings counterfeit, alternative spirituality that reframes things like church, Bible, Word of God, God, Holy Spirit, Second Coming, Christ. Oh, for counterfeit spirituality, they'll give you a de-deified Christ, a non-effect cross, and a empty Second Coming. There's just nothing there. That's true of Michael Dodd and the evolutionary Christianity that he's talking about. The astounding nothing that he offers. It's like walk the plank. Something glorious is out there, and then you fall and fall and fall and fall. It's the kind of thing that was offered in the garden. Glorious evolution to secretive truths that will make you godlike. The truth was, we instantly died in relationship to God. Death code came in, altered our being, including our DNA. The death code. We're going to die physically. Wasn't meant to be. And so at the cross, a conquering. Counterfeit spirituality can't conquer death, can't conquer sin, can't conquer the dark side, can't even really equate the actual issues that are going on. And the dark spirituality, metaschizmatzotai, masqueraded as light, light workers, angels of light, all that right now, will be deeply betrayed when the Antichrist does rise, leading to Babylon, this alternative spirituality today, creeping into the emergent church and other things, kind of a syncretism. It'll grieve the Spirit of God, quench the power of God, remove people from the lordship of Christ, and it will always be a, well, there'll be a demythologizing like the old liberal German theologians, Bultmann and others. You have something better than the glory of God, than the truth of God, than of Christ? Bring it forward. Counterfeit spirituality everywhere is one of the offers. So the five things, first of all, aggressive confrontation to bring destruction to the church, persecution. Then number two, the methods of doubt, deceit, seduction, spiritual warfare, bringing harm, bringing individual believers down, bringing others. What about point three? Corruption and compromise. Satan rose up against Israel and enticed David to sin and brought a big problem there. Satan can rise up against leaders and workers, and you've got to realize that many of these things we've seen in the last 30 years has been war on the body of Christ. And the counterfeit that's developing right alongside the goals of compromising and corrupting the church, well, distracting people. Maybe you're involved in the counterfeit. Do you have God? Do you have Christ? Do you have the gift of eternal life? Point five, the ultimate goal in satanic strategy is to replace it all. New order. If you haven't got that down, it's time to get down into the Word of God and study. Take a read, 1st, 2nd, specifically Thessalonians. Go into the book of 1st John. We've recommended that for all week. But the ultimate goal is to replace it all, the man of lawlessness, the one in opposition to God, with the goal of total replacement. A replacement Christ, a replacement revelation, a replacement church, spirituality, replacement everything. And lead us straight to Armageddon. Is that right? Well, let's ask the question in this last 2 minutes, exchanging the glory of God for what? It's what the cults and New Agers have been doing, and they're going to be betrayed. The compromised individual church, Christian, and the compromised church, well, there can be purification, there can be revival. I'm going to encourage you again, 1 John, it talks in there about how one can keep themselves purified. Russ Dizdar here, shatterthedarkness.net. We're at the end of the hour. Remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. That's our commercial. God bless and good night.